My name is Jordan Belfort. I'm a former member of the middle class raised by two accountants in a tiny apartment in Bayside, Queens. The year I turned 26, as the head of my own brokerage firm, I made $49 million, which really pissed me off because I was three shy of making $1 million a week.
That's right. We watched The Wolf of Wall Street this week on The Movie Gap, the podcast that has you scream.
How have you not seen that? How have you not seen that?
Welcome back to The Movie Gap. I am your host, Chase Austin. And as always, the cousin marrying loser to my left, Bryce Perkins.
Well, of all the things, that's the one. That's the one you do. This is what he does for me, week in and week out. Of all the things, of all the badass things he could have said.
So you're
from this
the
movie, he chooses the cousin fucker.
You're the cheap prostitute that you have to get a penicillin shot after you fuck her? Is that to my left? Is that
it's better than the cousin fucker.
Is it though?
I mean, yeah, kind of.
She's not in jail.
Right.
I don't know. He's in jail.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I'm just saying the point is this is what you do to me week in and week out. All right. And I'm not going to take it anymore. All right.
Okay.
All right, Chase.
All right.
You notice how I did, I went more for the real Jordan Belfort on my
impression. I noticed that.
Yeah.
He was, much weaselier we were just talking about.
He's got that high-pitched,
listen,
you know, Queen's ass, done a lot of, drugs, his throat, his fucking vocal cords are shredded.
Although he probably always sounded like that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Anyway, well, shout outs to you, Belfort, Mr. Belfort, if you happen to glance upon this.
And go fuck yourself.
All right. He said it.
Well, I guess we're going to get right into this episode here. We watched Wolf of Wall Street. I saw this in theaters when it came out, and I love this movie. Scorsese, as always, he doesn't really make a terrible one. He's made some that are not as good as others, but they're still very good movies. This is definitely one of the ones that is excellent. You know, I really like this movie. So, you never saw it.
That's correct.
Until now. What was the reasoning of it? I guess you didn't really go to a lot of movies.
I don't know. Yeah, yeah.
Because this seems like it would have been right up your alley. I mean, you've always loved Scorsese.
Totally. There's no real reason for me not to have gone to see this other than that at that time I was not going to the theaters ever.
Yeah.
Going to the movies is just something that wasn't interesting to me at all. So then I guess I just let the wave go and just didn't catch it while it was around. I've always been interested in seeing it, but never enough to really sit down and actually do it.
Yeah,
until
it is
now.
It is 3 hours. It's right at three hours.
Let's see, with Scorsese, that doesn't bother me so much.
No.
Because I know you're going to get some good stuff. And,
yeah.
You know,
Irishman. Yeah, it's just a lot to sit down and watch. That's why I haven't watched it as much.
Yeah.
As it kind of deserves. Like it is very rewatchable, way more than The Irishman.
Right.
But you know, like right up there with Goodfellas. It's like that rewatchable. Even I think this one is more entertaining the more you watch it, like compared to Casino, which is really good, but I don't watch that one as often as I do Goodfellas or whatever. But, you know, the 3 hour thing, when you start it, you're like, well, I don't want to watch this for 3 hours. You
know, right.
Even though when you're watching it, you're like, it's gone. It's done.
Right.
It's so good. But yeah, you know, it's his most successful film.
Scorsese's?
Yeah. It's his highest grossing film.
Oh, I see. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So, it's also his longest film before The Irishman. The Irishman was just over 3.5 hours.
Right.
This was right at, I believe it was right at, or if it, at 3 hours, or it might've been like 3 hours and 3 minutes or something, but it's, it's right at 3 hours.
Wow.
So.
Yeah. Well, but it's 3 hours of nonstop.
Yeah. And the directors, they call it the director's cut, but like just the initial cut was like 4 hours long.
Wow.
Yeah. And they ended up, you know, obviously cutting
what
a lot
else.
It's a lot of, it's just longer, longer scenes.
Oh, gotcha.
So much of this movie was improvised.
We were talking about that when we were watching it. Me, Ash, and neighbor Will.
Yeah.
Last night, and he brought that up. I wonder how much of this scene was improvised. I wonder how much of that scene. And I was like, I'm sure Marty kind of let him go.
Yeah. I mean, especially with, you know, and not even just, you know, like the Jonah Hills and things like that. Like all of the actors would improvise a lot of it.
Yeah.
You know, they all have those chops. And that's not something that you get a lot with a finished film from Scorsese necessarily, or even DiCaprio. But they did it like that whole thing with Matthew McConaughey with the pounding of the chest. Like that's
right.
A thing that Matthew McConaughey does.
Yeah,
to
I
warm
knew
up.
That.
Yeah.
I'd heard that story. But see, now I finally get what it is, because I've always, like, since this movie came out, that apparently was one of the most popular parts.
Uh-huh.
And I always saw like either him posting about it and kind of doing it, or someone else doing it.
Yeah,
and kind of being like, oh, that's that thing from Wolf of Wall Street. Now I finally get it. My pop culture sensibilities are that much more fine.
Well,
tonight,
and like,
so that's great.
There's even a
I
shot
feel included.
Like there's a weird little shot in that where like DiCaprio kind of like looks away uncomfortably, and that's like sort of him looking at Scorsese, be like, "Can we use this?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, go with it, go with it. He's like, "All right." So, and he said that like that was like 2 weeks into filming.
Wasn't it Leo that encouraged him to do it?
Yeah, on camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he noticed him
doing
it.
He saw him
it.
Doing it. Yeah.
He's like, why don't you try that?
So, and like, they didn't go to Scorsese for approval. He was just like,
no,
you try it and see what he does.
His like asking for approval was kind of like this nervous look off to the side. Like,
yeah.
You know, he's like, yeah, use it. You know, go with it. And DiCaprio said that, you know, that was, like I said, 2 weeks into filming or whatever that they did that scene. And he said that it was really what built the feel of the movie after that, like that energy and that.
Oh,
that scene,
really?
Like the whole message of it was what he wanted to take on throughout the rest of it. So,
yeah. So those scenes helped Leo finalize his idea of the character then.
Yeah. And, you know, Leo's, you know, that's like sort of his method to.
Well, sure.
Right, you know, right. Just it's very similar to De Niro, where he learned a lot from De Niro. So,
yeah. What movies did he do with De Niro?
Well, the first one was the Boy in the House or some shit. I can't remember the name of it.
The Boy in the House. Yeah. <It's>, this but, summer.
Yeah. It's the one that he told Scorsese to use DiCaprio in something else later on. Not The Aviator, but whatever the first one was.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But
yeah, he had worked with him before.
Oh, okay.
When he was much younger, and he was like, this kid's good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Maybe he saw him in What's Eating Gilbert Grape, which I just found out Chase hasn't fucking seen.
Nope.
Whoa.
I haven't seen that one. I mean, I think I've seen parts of it, but like I never watched that movie.
Really is.
Yeah, so be on the lookout for that. That's going to be another Flip the Script episode right there, big time, because I have seen it, believe it or not, folks.
This Boy's Life.
Oh.
That's the
sounds
one.
Just as boring as Boy in the House.
93. It's him and De Niro.
Yeah.
And De Niro's like an alcoholic father or some shit.
Yeah. Okay, sounds good.
That's the one.
Let me ask you something. Are you going to apologize to Mr. Belfort for saying, go fuck yourself earlier in the episode?
No.
Why?
Because I don't give a shit.
Why you got to do that? Why you got to be like that, Chase? Yeah, you don't know him. Maybe he says fuck you.
I don't care.
Okay. Well,
if he cares that I say it, then that's his own problem.
All right. Well,
okay.
And trust me, he does. Oh, you're so rude, though, dude. I don't get it.
Hey,
Look, he's the one that did all this crazy shit to make this movie even possible, and this is the way you thank him?
Well, you know, you know who you have to thank for that?
Quaaludes.
Well, he was encouraged by Tommy Chong to write this his story in a book.
Oh, in prison. They were prison mates, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And he was like, you should totally write that, man.
Yeah.
You should write that book, man. And he did. And then
That's fucking, dude, what are the chances of that?
I know. It's weird.
Dude, that's crazy. That's fucking crazy. That's so cool. The Boy in the House this summer, a movie so fucking tantalizing you'll shit yourself.
I think that is the name of, or it's something close to the name of that Olivia Wilde,
Jason Sudeikis
first direction guy. No, oh. Jason Sudeikis and Olivia Wilde are split. She's fucking Harry Styles now.
No.
Yeah.
They're on the outs.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
Last year sometime when started working with Harry Styles.
She got Harry Styles, dude.
Yeah. My wife was like, yep, I knew it. I knew that was going to happen. And then like now there's a picture of them together.
Do you think Sudeikis kind
of
knew it too, maybe?
I mean, come on.
I mean, dude.
Don't get me wrong. Sudeikis, great looking guy, super funny. But like at the same time, look at Olivia Wilde. She is way hotter and doesn't stop getting, like the older she gets, she stays the same hot.
Right.
Not even like hot for an older lady. She's just like the same that she looked when she was 25.
Right.
It's insane.
I mean, kudos to him for, you know, for that union in
the
first
place. You know what it is? It's because he punched Baby Yoda.
He did?
This is the...
In real life?
Well, in the show.
Wait, Jason Sudeikis is in The Mandalorian?
He got killed after he punched Baby Yoda.
Well, that tends to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, it was the first season.
Well, spoilers, by the way.
Also,
first season?
Also, it's Grogu, not Baby Yoda. We all know that.
Fuck that stupid name. That's a dumb name. Grogu. Goku.
How about that?
Baby Yoda's going to go Super Saiyan now? Fuck out of here.
Don't shit on Grogu, okay?
I shit on fucking Grogu. You know why? Because he's that fucking small.
You think people were crazy about Yoda the first time they heard it?
No. Yeah.
Yoda, what is that?
Yeah. Well, at least it was fucking made by the actual creator of the fucking, you know, universe and shit.
I was doing George in the
You always sneak Seinfelds in when I'm doing separate bits. You sneak Seinfelds.
Yeah. That was the George of the Seinfeld universe.
Yeah,
he's like, what a Blanche. Who likes Blanche?
Oh right. You think people like Blanche when it first came out? Yeah. Blanche.
Seven. Well, I just imagined him saying Grogu.
Dude, you know what's hilarious about that episode though is that he said Seven is an awesome name, and then Andre 3000 named his kid Seven.
Wow.
You know, he stole it from George, dude.
Did he really, or is it?
I don't know, but the timing is right. You know what I mean? Like, it's possible.
I'm not going to lie.
Imagine a universe.
Soda better than Seven.
I kind of like Soda, too.
I know.
I know when he brought that up, he was like, think about it. Soda.
Soda. It's
refreshing. Yeah, I was like, it's refreshing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, that's a good point.
Jerry's just like, what about Mug?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, dude. That was so good.
Oh, man. I've gotten my wife to let me just watch Seinfeld all day while we're working. And because we watched Friends, like I said, 6 times in a row. And so we started watching Seinfeld. And the more we watch it, the more she goes, God damn it. You are George. Like, you so are George. And I was like, eh.
Dude, if you can't relate to George, you're not a human.
No.
You know what I mean? Get out of here. You know?
Now, I'm not a bad person the way that George is a bad person, but...
Right.
And again, you know, whatever. You know.
Yeah. Do you think that I can get you to, back in the vein of this movie?
Anyway, I was saying that, they're making a movie, and it's a horror film, and I think it's called something like a Boy House or something. I don't know.
As I recall, it was a horror film.
Yeah, like you said. Anyway, so getting back into this movie. First time you saw it, what did you know about it going in a little bit? I mean, what isn't there to know? Were you aware that it was based on a true story? Did you know?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I was definitely aware of that.
It was obviously stocks and shit, Wall Street.
Yeah.
Did you know?
Wolves. I knew that there was going to be some vampires versus wolves action.
I was going to say, did you know there were no actual wolves?
Nope, I did not know that. I was very disappointed, but I made it through.
You thought this was a, like, a spinoff of the Twilight franchise.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just
it's from Jacob's perspective.
Yeah, Jacob. Yeah, it's Jacob retiring from the werewolf life, and just trying to go make money in the stock market. Being a white collar guy. I was disappointed to see that wasn't the case, but I was also pleasantly surprised by it being its own good movie.
Well, see, and I wonder. That's why. I kept wondering why you were like, it's Halloween, we should do Wolf of Wall Street.
Right.
I get it now.
You understand.
Absolutely.
I was confused as to what you weren't getting. You know? Now it's all clear. It's all clear.
Love that.
I knew a lot about it. I knew McConaughey was in it. I didn't know how little he was in it.
Yeah, very little. Just that one scene. Now, the real guy invested like 25% in Belfort's company, worked with him after that too.
Oh, okay. So
that wasn't, you know, that didn't make.
Were
it
there
the book,
were there more the, were there the more scenes with McConaughey in it that just got
no?
Left on
I don't.
The floor?
I think that was just what the script was. I'm not. I don't. Yeah. I didn't read anything up on, like, I've never read the book.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So I'm not. I'm not going to sit here and be like, this is the difference between this film and the book in real life. And
right.
But that being said, something that I do enjoy, and I was really thinking about this time, is they point to it specifically at one point, but something you have to think about in this film is that it is very much our narrator is Jordan Belfort.
Right.
And he is recalling all of these events after the fact because he's writing it in a book.
So
he's fucked up from the very beginning.
Right.
You know, so like how much of this is exactly what happened?
Right.
How much of it is his ego twisting
it? Right.
I mean, the end result, you know, the money, he's not lying about that. There's videos of that beach party you can find on YouTube.
No way, really. Yeah. Which beach party?
The one where he meets Naomi, except her real name is Nadine.
I didn't know that too.
But so there's a lot of like how, like when I was watching it this time, I was like thinking like that scene when he first walks into the penny stock place,
right?
And it's the accounting firm on the front or whatever.
And they all turn
and they
around,
all like turn him, and then they cheer him on. No, and I was like, okay, this sounds
that's
like
it's clearly
this
some
like
movie
him.
Shit. But it's also him being the narrator.
Like, it's probably in the book that way.
Right,
you know, like
right,
I can
right,
see that.
Right.
You know, he's
right.
Like, that is 100%. And in his head, it probably is.
Right.
You know,
right.
But like, I like, did they though?
Right.
Did they, you know?
Right.
So.
Probably more realistically, they were on their own calls, not hearing him at all.
Yeah.
And then he hangs up the phone and goes, I just sold 4,000. And then they go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That's probably what happened.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff like that. And the film is shot in that way to secretly remind you. You know, I mean, obviously there's a part where he says
the best reveal of that is the Lamborghini driving
so that
home
part,
on the lewds.
But there's also a lot of, and Scorsese loves to fuck with continuity, which, like, you know, when you're editing a film, you start to really see continuity when it breaks with, like, you know, hands switching things, you know, like the pin goes in a different hand or whatever, cigarettes go in a different hand. You know, you start to notice things like that. And if you really watch a movie, there's a lot of movies where it's bad and it doesn't really take away from it until you start watching it, you know?
Uh-huh.
And Scorsese, like, famously doesn't really worry about that. He worries about the performance.
Right.
But
which
then he
I
also,
noticed there's a lot of that in this one.
And now on this one, it's on purpose.
Okay.
Because of the, it's always in the scenes where there's major drug use and drinking and Quaaludes, whereas everything's a little off. Sometimes
it might
be twice. Sometimes there's an arm of a chair that's been moved. Like, it's just like you can't trust what you're seeing because you are in an altered state of mind.
You know what I mean?
So it's done that way on purpose. He also, the cinematographer or DP also like chose to use different lenses for things that would have a different effect on how the person looks based on what drugs were in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's everything that you, if you're watching it, you're like, this feels weird. It's just like he did in Shutter Island where there's like some blatant, like,
editing
things
gaps.
Where you're just like, whoa,
it's
almost like you see it twice in a way and stuff.
Yeah.
And like, I remember watching that the first time and being like, okay, this is driving me nuts. And then I realized, oh, it's on purpose because of this, that, and the other.
Right.
And that's what's going on in this film.
Yeah. I mean, I caught a lot of that. And, well, I was just chalking it up to Scorsese's penchant for editing for the performance, like we've talked about. I didn't really catch that it was perhaps done on purpose, but that is interesting to know. And he does it really well.
Yeah, and he chooses his moments. I mean, you know, he's not the editor, obviously.
Right.
But
he oversees the editing, though, doesn't he?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he has Final Cut, but on this one, probably.
Yeah.
Because one of the reasons that him and DiCaprio were able to get this made the way that they wanted it, like pushing the envelope. I mean, there's a lot of intense sex scenes,
really,
lots of crazy drug use.
He's blowing coke up a lady's ass.
Yeah, and he's got a candle sticking out of his own ass.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's a lot of just very over the top to get an R rating. So they would, a normal studio would be like, you're not even shooting that.
Yeah, right.
But they made this production, they financed it independently. So it wasn't part of the studio system until it was done. And that's why they were able to. Yeah, that's why they were able to get so much more into it.
Right. That makes sense.
So, yeah, I'm sure he had. And, you know, who doesn't give Scorsese Final Cut at this point? You know what
I mean? It seems to me like it is the most important aspect of like, putting your film together. I don't understand why any director would let someone just chop their hard work up.
Yeah, well, you know,
without any say.
You know, depending on who you talk to, and a lot of times the buck stops with whatever they do.
Yeah,
you know, it's like the screenwriter's like, "Well, I write the screenplay. That's what. If you don't have a good screenplay, you don't have a good movie." Which is pretty true,
right?
But then the director shoots that,
right?
And if you don't have a good director who doesn't get all the shots.
Translate the shots.
Or whatever. Then you don't have anything to edit. But then you can make a whole new movie out of footage that you have.
Right.
Especially if it's shot well.
Yeah.
Where they have, you know, a lot of coverage.
Yeah.
You can change the whole movie.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Yeah, very easily.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can see Scorsese being the kind of director that's like, you're not going to fuck up my hard work here. You
know? Yeah. He's got the power to do that because he is Scorsese.
Right. You know, right. So. Yeah, that's true too. Yeah. But doesn't he, how much work does he put into the screenwriting aspect?
Well, he is not a screenwriter.
Well, and I understand that, but how much does he oversee any of that either? Or does he just gets screenplays that he's like, I can do something with it?
Yeah, he gets them. In fact, this one, he was not the
original director.
Yeah, he wasn't necessarily the first one. I mean, you know, DiCaprio wanted him when he got him, but I forget who the other guy was because it never got off the ground with that. But it was so this screenplay was shopped around. You know,
wow.
I think DiCaprio got the book in like 2003 and was like, I want to make this movie.
Oh,
and so he figured out.
Yeah, I've seen that DiCaprio has almost like a friendship with the real Jordan Belfort or something. He ended up like doing videos for Jordan Belfort, like to help sell Belfort's products, the straight line method and stuff like that, which I started following. I mean, to answer what I knew about this movie, to going back to the question, I knew Belfort was a real guy and I knew that it was like based off of his book. Because my line of work is, you know, somewhat in the sales realm. So I started looking up, you know, different successful salespeople and just, you know, learning what I could for free as much as possible. So I looked into Belfort. I looked into as much free content I could about his straight line method, which there's not much out there. But I'd seen that Leo had done those promos and stuff for his stuff. And I'm like, Jesus, dude, like, what is going on here? This is weird, man. You know? So I don't know if you know any more about their relationship, but it seems to
I know that Leo,
a pretty
like
strong one.
Leo talked to him about
the weirdest thing,
you know, performance stuff and like everything that, like, to the point that Leo does, you know, he's not Christian Bale where he learns how to play the drums because this guy knew how to play drums and it's not important to the movie,
right.
Or, you know.
Right.
But, you know, but he throws himself in the, he's very, you know, we talked about Jack Nicholson the other day.
Yeah.
And, you know, DiCaprio definitely takes a lot from Jack Nicholson's performances too, where he does, it's always Leo, but it's never Leo. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
He disappears into the role, but really the role kind of disappears into him too. Where, you know, it's not like,
I would say,
Christian Bale, he's like a chameleon. He changes.
This person becomes
Leo DiCaprio as that person almost, you know, like, I don't know if that, I'm not saying that in a way that is negative. I'm saying that in a way that's positive, and I think it's coming off.
Well,
negative.
Yeah, I mean, it's his own style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I don't know how much he worked with Jordan, but he did. And then, like Scorsese said, he didn't even meet the guy until after it was.
Oh, really?
He had shot the whole movie, which is weird because he's in the movie. So, like, I don't know if Scorsese really knows what's going on all the time.
Yeah.
He's like, I meet a lot of people.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Come on, yeah. I'm 80 years old or whatever. Yeah.
That reminds me of the story of there was an infamous meeting between John Lennon and Brian Wilson at a bar in Hollywood in the mid-70s where John walks into the bar. Brian Wilson was already there, and John's there with his entourage. I think he walked in with the Hollywood vampires, they called him, him and Harry Nilsson and Alice Cooper and shit. And Brian Wilson sees John walk in, and he went over to Alice and Cooper and was like, oh man, I got to meet John. I've never met John. I always wanted to meet him. And so he goes and he's like, yeah, well go talk to him. That's incredible. Yeah. You should meet John Lennon. What the fuck? So Brian walks up to John and he's like, oh man, John, you know, so great to meet you. I'm just such a great fan, man. That Rubber Soul. Wow. It inspired me to do Bed Sounds and all this and that, you know? And John was like, oh, yes, thank you, Brian. Very nice to meet you, too. Yes, well, thank you. And then Brian leaves, and Alice Cooper's like, I can't believe you guys haven't fucking met each other before. How is that possible? And he's like, I've met Brian hundreds of times. He just doesn't remember. This is what I do with him now.
Every time is the same.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What's really funny is, at first, you said Brian Wilson, and in my head, I heard Brian Williams.
Yeah.
Like the anchor.
Oh, the anchor?
Yeah. That's I got it at the beginning, but then the whole time you're telling the story, I was like, because at that point, I was like, oh, I know this story. And then the whole time you're telling it, I was imagining it if it was Brian Williams.
Yeah. as him as the lead singer of the Beach Boys, or just him.
Just him.
Meeting, he's like, the one that's,
oh, Rubber Soul. Got me through GMA or whatever. Like, it's. And he's like, I meet him all the time. He's just so fucked up. Yeah, Brian Williams.
Yeah, right.
You know, he's a cokehead or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. But anyway, so that's what's going on with Scorsese there.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, let's get to your notes.
Start
then.
Bringing it down a little bit here.
I'm excited about this. I've been excited about this one, and my wife has been super excited.
Yeah.
For like the last 8 months. She's been like, let's watch Wolf of Wall Street. And I'm like, you know, we're going to do that on the podcast, and we're not doing it yet. So, like, I don't want to watch it now and then have to watch it in another, you know, four months or 3 weeks or whatever just to get ready again. So, like, it's coming up. And I kept telling her it's coming up. And then finally you brought it up the other day, and I was like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. It's about time we did this one. It's been on the list for a while. I've been excited about doing it for obvious reasons. Scorsese, love it.
Yeah.
You know,
We would be remiss if we didn't mention we didn't get Ed on this episode.
Right. I know we thought about that right before we fired this baby up today.
Yeah, but the timing.
And that's the thing. Ed,
Ed
is
has a
probably going to be, Ed is probably going to be pissed off when he sees that we did this without him because he's the one that's always telling me, as we all know, as loyal listeners of the show know, I've not always been the biggest Leo fan. It's always been a love hate, a little bit of love hate with me and Leo. Okay. And then that changed with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He really won me over there. But Ed has always expressed to me, you've got to watch Wolf of Wall Street. I think your opinion will change on Leo once you watch Wolf of Wall Street. He always says that to me, always. And I got to give it to you, Ed. You were right. You're right. I mean, he fucking really kills it.
He had already won you over, but this was like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, right. It was just kind of like more of like a, oh, man, like I see why Ed was saying that. Yeah. So, yeah, shout outs to Ed. We love you, brother.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about Leo. We'll break him down a little bit, but we'll get through some little things here. Some little notes. Conahay looking skinny.
Yeah.
Which worked because he was a cokehead and all this and that.
But yeah, he was straight off of Dallas Buyers Club. Still hadn't gained all his weight back.
He ended up winning the Academy Award for Best Actor over Leo
for
Dallas Buyers Club. And then he came over to do this movie. What do you think? Do you think Leo wanted to punch McConaughey for that?
No, I mean, let's be honest. As much as Leo cares, he's got his Oscar now too with Revenant.
Right, but he didn't at that time.
No, he didn't at that time.
And he was probably thinking, this is my chance.
Yeah, but I don't even think he went. Like, Leo
always been like kind of a shunner of the...
No, not a shunner. He just doesn't care. He doesn't want to play the game.
Right.
He doesn't want to,
kiss the ass.
Campaign for it.
He doesn't want to be blowing coke up people's asses.
Yeah. All the time. Well, no, let's be honest. I think he does. That's why he doesn't want to go fucking around with the Oscar campaign and doing all the morning shows and all that kind of crap.
Right.
So, because he doesn't. He basically does not do publicity for movies.
You know? I never really thought of that.
Yeah. And I don't think he gave a shit. I don't even know if he went to the Oscars that year.
Sure.
I know that there's been, I mean, he obviously went when he won, and I know that he's brought his mother to several, if not all of them. But, I really don't think he cares, and I don't think it's he's too cool. Like, I don't care because I'm cool. I think it's just like, he's like, I mean, I could do all that, or I could go out on a yacht and fuck models for 6 months.
Right. He's got a little bit of Belfort in him, huh?
He got a lot of Belfort in him. Yeah. But without he's doing the, it, yeah, without the criminal, scheming. Yeah, without yeah, the criminal
without,
stuff.
Without the
that's what I was saying is like you see Belfort at the end of this movie. If you know it's him, he's the guy who introduces Jordan Belfort to the stage at the very end of the film, and so that's the real Jordan Belfort. And you see him, and you're like, yeah, that guy is a weasel. He sounds like a weasel. Like he's definitely a skeezy little guy.
Uh-huh.
He would have to steal your money. And then you see, you know, DiCaprio, and you're kind of like, I mean, I'd just give him money if he has. Like, he's like, this guy, look at this guy. He's got it together. I clearly, you know, even if he was wearing like jorts.
Right.
You know, you're like, this guy knows what he's doing. He's got jorts on.
Yeah, right.
So.
I mean, you know, that a lot of that is aided in the fact that he is a movie star. But it's definitely a movie star version of the real guy.
Anytime you see the true story ones,
a little bit more polished.
You see the celebrity playing the person.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, ooh, even when it's like, you know, an ugly, quote unquote, ugly celebrity.
Yeah.
They're never as ugly. Like an ugly person is an ugly person. Like an ugly celebrity is interesting looking. You know what I mean? Man.
Yeah.
What was it? I think Argo is the one where you're just like, I don't want to see that movie. Yeah.
Speaking of that, Argo won Best Picture the year before this movie came out.
Oh, yeah. Because we were looking up who.
Yeah.
Argo, fuck yourself. You've seen that, right?
What? Argo? Fuck yourself?
Yeah. Argo?
No.
We got to do. I fucking love Argo.
It's good?
Oh, yeah.
It's deserving great. Of the Best Picture?
I forget what it was up against, but I was glad when it won. It was my favorite that year.
Oh, wow. So Ben Affleck killed it.
I love Ben Affleck.
He directed it and everything?
Yeah, he directed it. And like his directing is better than his performance. I mean, the guy gets it. You know, he's had his issues.
Right.
As we all do, but
what's Argo even about?
It's based on a true story. Yeah, the CIA pretended to make a film. They were going to make this like sci-fi feature film to group of people into like Saudi Arabia or whatever to get these hostages out or Iran or, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I remember now.
Yeah, but
right, no spoilers, great. Please. No spoilers.
It's a great movie. That's definitely got to go on the list.
Okay, great. Back to the list, back to the notes. Speaking of lists, I got a list of notes here.
Nice cover.
Thank you.
Sell me this list.
Conahay, exactly. McConaughey kills it.
Yeah.
And he's only in the movie for like 10 minutes, if that.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those things. It's one of those types of performances where, like, along the lines of, what's his name in Glengarry, Glenn Ross, Alec Baldwin or something.
Alec Baldwin, yeah.
Yeah. Did he get consideration for a nomination for this movie?
I don't know.
No. I mean, not that he needed.
I mean, I don't think he did, because he was nominated for Best Actor, and I don't remember it being.
Yeah.
Like, every time that happens, like, yeah, they make a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, he's nominated for Best Actor and Best Supporting.
Oh, does that happen?
Yeah, that happens, because that happens quite often.
Oh, okay.
A lot more often than you'd think.
Wow. Okay.
So, but
like twice. Yeah, that would be a lot more often than I think.
Yeah.
Christina Milioti or Kristen Milioti?
Oh, I think it's Belfort, Christina.
Teresa,
yeah,
right?
The mother wife. From How I Met Your Mother.
Yes.
Spoiler alert. And Palm Springs. She was in Palm Springs.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
And
Death
to 2020, which I just watched the other day.
Oh, right. She's in that. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. She is in that. Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Kristen
Milioti. Yeah. Yeah, she's great in this, but pleasant surprise. I was not expecting that at all. To see her pop up in a Scorsese film.
I know, and it's one of those things, she's like gorgeous,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, who would cheat on her? She's so sweet,
right,
she's like
right,
gorgeous
right.
and everything. You're like, how would you ever, that is Margot Robbie, you're like, I mean, I get it.
All right, Chaz, you fucking horn dog over there. I don't subscribe to that.
Although, I will say, that accent that she uses, I'm out. But then Kristen had the same accent, so I was like double out.
It seemed more, wait, are you saying it's a, like, she does a bad job of doing the accent?
No,
or
I'm
you
saying
just
accent,
don't like that.
It's not for me.
That Long Island.
Yeah, I can't handle it.
Maybe even Staten Island.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, your idea of a normal conversation involves throwing a cup.
Right.
So I can't.
Yeah, for real.
I can't do this.
No, totally. Oh, definitely. Yeah, it really does, just like, come off as well as like a, just if someone were to take a Sharpie to a Van Gogh or something,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
like,
you're just like, ugh,
yeah,
not doing it.
Yeah. But yeah. Speaking of Margot Robbie, she's in this. I had heard that she was in this, but I forgot. So
this
it was a surprise.
Breakout. This was her breakout role.
This was her, not her first role.
No,
was it?
No.
Oh, okay.
But this was the one that like,
amazing.
This is the one that made her,
yeah,
a household name. Do we still say
right,
that?
Right.
Yeah,
I can imagine. Yeah, and she does great though, man. She really is a good actress.
Yeah, she's fabulous.
Yeah,
yeah, just like, you know, she's up there with like Charlize Theron, where you're like, they don't need to be good because of, like, I mean, look at them,
right.
You know,
right.
and then they're even
it's
better
a little
because
superficial
of it.
Of each
yeah,
chase,
well,
but,
no, but that's
know,
that's the facts.
No,
of
it
life.
Is what it is. It is what it is.
But yeah, she, let's see here. What did she do? Yeah, that was pretty much it. She was on a couple of TV shows that all lasted like one season or so. I think, yeah, obviously Neighbours is a British show.
Is she British?
Yeah.
Whoa, whoa. Are you serious?
Yeah.
She's British?
Yeah.
What? Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
Is British.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Or no, I'm sorry. She's Australian.
Oh.
She's Australian.
That is even more of a mind blow.
Yeah.
Man, I need a fucking soundbite for mind blow. Do you got a blow up sound on there?
No, I have.
Manny, look at this. Pelican flying. Come on, Pelican.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. There you go. That blew my mind. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway.
I don't know what that word means.
Yeah, but it's called Neighbours.
Okay.
You know how those British people, they always like throw a U
with
in
a U.
There?
Yeah. Like Kalours.
Yeah. Or yeah. Manure.
Yeah, or manure. just kidding. Manure, it's a beautiful word. You got manure.
Man, we watched that episode the other day,
yeah.
and Carrie's just like, what is he doing? It's so funny to watch it with her, because she'll just react. She'll be like on her phone, not paying attention, and she goes, wait, what? Like, just all sorts of things that are happening. And the thing is, I'm like, this is so great, because I also know that she's seen this before and just forgot.
Yeah, right, so, right. Yeah.
But yeah, no, this, she did a movie called About Time, and then she did this. I mean, this is after her, like, TV stuff. So this was, like, her first straight-up American film.
Well, dude, her Long Island accent is great.
Yeah, well, she's trained actors. The class, like,
right,
you know,
right, right.
And you know, when you're Australian and you're going to be an actor or whatever, you learn.
Yeah.
To drop that accent because.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Yep. As
they don't, as many Australians that are actors, not a ton of American films are written for Australians.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, you got Crocodile Dundee.
Yep.
And then Crocodile Dundee 2.
Yeah. And Crocodile Dundee 3.
No, I think it was just called
Crocodile Dundee, Dundee Lost in New
Manhattan
York
or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's just crazy. I didn't know that I thought she was American. That's just, nope. That's nuts. Yet another revelation of the movie gap. This is why we do this.
I'm learning with you. I don't know why. I knew she was Australian, but I just had British in my head after the Neighbors thing. But I'm not surprised that you didn't know that.
Right.
She almost never plays.
Right.
You know, anything.
Well, I've only seen her in
The Big Short?
No.
Okay. She's got a brief part where she plays herself.
Yeah.
In that, where she's like describing what's going on.
Yeah.
And she uses her real accent there.
Oh, okay. Wow. I mean, I've only seen her in two movies, this one and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay.
I've not seen Suicide Squad. I don't care about Harley Quinn.
Yeah. It's, you know. If you like that stuff, it's good, but.
Right.
Well, no, actually, Suicide Squad pretty much sucked. She was great, and Will Smith was great.
Okay.
The sequel,
I'll take your word for it.
The sequel one, it was, I didn't like it.
Is that what the Harley Quinn movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it just wasn't good enough. And then
that's because you hate
but
women.
But iTonya is great.
What's that?
That's the Tonya Harding movie.
Oh, she played Tonya Harding?
Yeah.
And oh, she did they do the thing? Did they monster?
Talk about, no, not her? Not really. I mean, they made her look a little more plain. I mean, obviously she's not
right.
Hideous.
Right.
I mean, Tonya Harding wasn't ugly.
Right.
She was just, you know, a little rough around the edges.
She was ugly on the inside.
Yeah, well, she was definitely rough around the edges. It's a heartbreaking movie. It's very good.
She does
an accent in that one that'll make you want to blow your brains out too.
Really?
Like, I can imagine. She's dead on.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where she's like, Hunter, oh.
A Long Island girl or whatever. Yeah. Or New York
so,
or whatever.
No, she was country. I think she was.
Tonya Harding? She's from New York. Where do you think she got the idea to take someone's knees out to fucking beat them? Like, that's some fucking, that's some mafia shit, man. I could be totally wrong, but it makes sense to me.
You know? I mean, you see a thing, you hear a thing, you put it together.
Yeah, you put it together. That's how I do it. It's like a piece of pie. Anyway. I killed it. So,
fatality.
We cannot talk about this movie without discussing Jonah Hill, okay?
Yeah.
Now, listen. I love Jonah Hill. I mean, I don't know, love is a strong word, but I've never had a problem with Jonah Hill. Some people found him annoying when he first came in, but that's because they, you know.
Portland, Oregon.
That's where Jonah Hill's from?
No, that's where Tonya Hardy's from.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Well, I was wrong.
I couldn't rest.
We were both very wrong. Yeah, very, very wrong. But look, I've always been a fan of Jonah Hill's.
This was right before he lost all that weight too.
Yeah,
he was still
he was like, you could see he was kind of starting to.
Yeah,
but
he's still a heavy boy.
Wasn't this? Correct me if I'm wrong, but this was like his first foray into dramatic.
No, he did Moneyball before this.
Acting. Oh, Moneyball was before this.
Yeah,
you know, he was good in Moneyball too.
Yeah, no, he's very good. I just think he's a little too Jonah Hill for in real life.
Like, what do you think? How do you think he did in this movie?
I thought he's great.
He's incredible.
I mean, and he's great in all, like, he's such a good improviser, you know, just like all the guys that he worked with before in, you know, Superbad and everything like that. He's able to stay in that character and make a real scene happen.
Right, you know? Right.
And like in this, where it's funny but real, like
it never feels. Well, it's funny because
it
is real.
Feel unwritten.
It's truth in comedy.
Yeah, and
okay,
it doesn't
guys.
Feel like, you know, he's one of, like, Dana McBride does it real well too, where it feels written.
Yeah,
even though it's
right,
being
right,
made
right,
up
right.
On the spot, yeah. You know, in a good way, not like overwritten or whatever. But
that whole
he's very good. He's very funny.
He's so good. And those veneers are just hilarious.
Yeah. Now I do know that he had, when he first put those in, it gave him like a real bad lisp.
Right.
Which he kind of doesn't have
would.
A little bit
it would,
of it in the movie.
Well,
but
anyone
would,
that has that shit in their mouth is gonna have a little bit of
because it's a huge
yeah.
And it's, but to get to where he could be understood better and everything, he would just like call businesses.
Yeah.
And just like get on the phone for and hours a day till you like dropped it.
No way. Really? He put that kind of preparation into it?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Dude. And he took.
You just cold calling people?
So, yeah. So, DiCaprio got $25 million to do this movie.
Okay.
And
Jonah Hill got 26.
No.
Okay.
You just take a guess, Jonah Hill's.
Well, the way you're setting it up, it's telling me that it's going to be much less. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with a ridiculously low number.
Okay.
And I hope I'm wrong. 500,000.
Oh, nope. Less.
What?
We're talking SAG minimum.
Fatality.
He took SAG minimum.
Why?
Of 60 grand.
What?
Because he wanted to work with Scorsese. And,
dude, what the fuck? So they couldn't fucking pay him more than that?
Well, I mean, you know.
Like, it's one thing for the guy to offer it up and be like, look, I'll take the SAG minimum. I just want to work for you. But someone shows you a good faith like that, you fucking reward him. You don't be like, all right.
No,
I mean, I guess you do that. I mean, for fucking A, dude.
But they also ended up like, it got to a point where they just offered him the role at that.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, I want to audition. I want to audition for Scorsese.
Wow.
And it was the first time he auditioned for a role in like 6 years.
Wow. Just to what? Be able to say that he did?
I guess. Or he wanted to earn it, you know?
All right. Well, you did. So
yeah,
though.
He was, you know,
the fact that it was offered.
At this point,
you.
he was offer only.
Yeah. Right.
And you know, again, say what you will about the guy. I don't know him.
Yeah,
I know that when I see interviews with him.
We don't know
like,
any of these people.
When I see interviews with him, I'm like, yeah, maybe I don't want to know him. He doesn't seem like that. He doesn't seem like my guy. But I'm sure I'd get along with him. I get along with everybody.
That's what you think.
But
that's in your head. That's your version of the story.
Well, hey.
You're writing the story and everyone's just like, Chase, how's it going? Hi.
Yeah,
oh,
it's
Chase.
The opposite. It's the opposite of, you know, if everybody you meet is a dick,
yeah,
then you're the dick. If
right.
I get along with everybody, then I'm the best.
Yeah.
That's how it is, I guess.
I'll let you have that one. I don't even.
It's easy to get along with people. It's easy to get along with people when you don't let them talk.
Yeah,
that's true. Then I'm always having a great conversation.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm always interested in what we're talking about.
That's right. That's a good point. It's a good strategy. Getting some tips right here from old Chaz about how to navigate your way through life.
It's like my wife said. She goes, on our first date, I thought you were like super, super nervous because you were just talking a
lot. Stop talking. Yeah, yeah.
And then I realized that you just talk a lot.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
But, no, so, yeah, but say what you will about him. He's fucking great. He really is.
He kills it in this movie, dude.
And in every movie. But, yeah, this movie is some of his best work.
Yeah, I would say hands down. I just, you know, we needed to get that out there.
Yeah.
And then I guess to piggyback on that, you know, shout out to the guy who played Brad, the Quaalude dealer or whatever.
Oh, Shane from The Walking Dead.
That's where I...
John Bernthal. Well, he's the Punisher, too, on the Netflix.
That's what he is. He's the Punisher.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and he's been,
right.
You know, he's been in a lot of things here and there. But those
Punisher
and Shane from the Walking Dead, it was the first two seasons, I think, two or three seasons. I can't remember when he left the show, but it was pretty early on. But John Bernthal is great.
Yeah,
and he's fucking great in this. Everybody, there's not a weak link in this cast.
No, absolutely. That fucking scene where he's like, you know what, sell me this pen, and then he goes around the table and then he's. He's like, no, give it to Brad.
Watch
fucking Brad do this. Watch this. And then Brad's just like, it's like, you want me to sell you this fucking pen?
Write your name.
Hey, write your name. Well, you can't? Here. Fucking supply and demand. Like, it's like so fucking hilarious. And kind of genius, you know? But anyway, he was cool too. Let's talk about...
You know what? He was in Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt too.
He was as
two
what?
Two episodes. He was...
He was one of the
Ian or Island Ilan and Mysterious Man. One in 2018, one in 2019.
Oh, must have been
2019. Small. Kimmy fights a fire monster. In 2018, Kimmy meets an old friend.
Okay, well, shout outs to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah,
so
Baby Driver. He was good in that.
We talked about how they did not hold back on displaying a lot of the sex. Now let's talk about how they did not hold back on displaying the drug use.
All right.
That was something that, I mean, look, there's drug use in a Scorsese film. That's nothing new. But, no. I mean, this one just was like, went to whole new fucking levels of depicting the fucking kind of shit they did. Also depicting them being fucked up on the shit.
Very, very good.
That is something that is like, you know, I think everyone agrees is one of the hardest things to depict is someone being realistically fucked up in a movie off of whatever drug it is.
Because either it gets comical too comical.
Or too cheesy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where like watching this, I'm like that fucking Lambo scene.
Dude.
With the Quaaludes.
The
first time I saw it, I was dying. And this last time, like when I watched it the other night, I was laughing my ass off too. And my wife was like, this isn't funny.
Right.
This is scary.
Right. And then the way it fucking cuts. Okay. So first of all, Leo should have gotten the fucking Oscar just for that scene alone, dude.
Opening the door with his foot.
Dude. Like imagine signing up for a movie and then you have to do that. And it has to be you.
Yeah.
Not no stunt double. And you have to fucking roll around and crawl.
He only got one take of him actually doing it because he tweaked his back real bad.
Yeah, I can fucking imagine, dude. I mean, obviously, he didn't somersault down the stairs. That wasn't really
but I do love him. Him, like, just roll down the stairs. And
yeah.
It's like a child, like a baby, like, that doesn't understand its muscles.
Yeah.
And he's, like, curled up and, like, pushing himself over his own arms.
Right, right.
All of it is.
But, dude, the fucking, the way... Dude, Scorsese fucking masterclassed depicting someone getting fucked up and it all blowing up in your face.
Yeah, well, and then, like, on top of that, he's so fucked up, he knows he's super fucked up.
Right.
But he doesn't even know the half of it.
Right, exactly.
Because when you're that fucked up like that, you're in your own head, nothing else.
Right.
So when he's doing it, there's nobody around, there's no other cars.
Right,
And then... cut to him actually.
Yeah,
like what showing, really happened. He hits every golf
cart.
That
was so fucking genius, man. Showing that he's like, it's like when I was driving home, I drove home as slow as humanly possible.
I
made it home, not a scratch on me, not a scratch on my car. I can't believe I did it. And then he gets fucking arrested in the morning. He sees his fucking beautiful Lambo just smashed to bits. And it cuts back to the reality of instead of people going around him because he's going so slow.
He's
the one that's going, get out of the way, asshole. Driving as fast as he fucking can.
Yeah. He's like checking. He's not looking at the road.
Right. And then fucking, and then it all come into a head when he gets back to his house. And then the Quaaludes have also hit Donnie.
Yeah.
So Donnie's fucked up too.
And Donnie's talking to
two grown men.
On the phone. Yeah. It's all been tapped.
But two grown men where the objective is, I need to get this man to hang up the phone.
Yeah.
And it's the most impossible task ever because they're so fucked up. You know?
And they're both yelling at each other. Yeah, they can't understand
each other. They think they can. And it's like all, like, it's fucking just to be able to build that kind of attention over something as simple as hang up the phone, you know? It was just really fucking great. And then, of course, the shot of him giving CPR and the ham coming up and hitting him in the face. That was just such a great shot. It was just a masterclass from Scorsese, masterclass from Leo, masterclass from fucking Jonah Hill.
One of the biggest, like, definition moments of substance abuse problem is how, like, he thinks he knows how to control it in the way, like, because he does it once before, but even there is like, I'm all fucked up. Well, if I take this other thing, if I snort all this coke, then I'll be fine to do this or whatever. But just like when he was like, okay, I want to be out for my entire flight. So I'm in control of this disease. I'm in control of how I feel. If I take the Quaaludes here and then do this and then do that, and then I get on the plane and then I'm fine.
Yeah.
And he gets on the plane and he's trying to rape the co-pilot.
Yeah, right.
Pilot,
like, they have to fucking strap him down, and he doesn't even remember.
No.
Yeah. He's like, get me out of these. He's like, I can't. The fucking pilot strapped you down. What? Why?
It's like, what do you think?
Yeah,
like,
right.
I don't remember any of that.
He's like, I thought you got a problem, man. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that the fucking, that, but just that whole setup of them you know, he cleans everything out of his system just to take those lemon quaaludes or whatever. And they sit there and they pop a couple and they wait. And then they're just watching Family Matters.
Yeah.
And nothing's happening. And then they're like, fuck this. They're so duds. Old. They're so old. Yeah, they're duds. We gotta
take more. Nope. That's not how it works.
Wrong. You didn't wait. And then the way it hits him right when he's finding out the bad news.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, fuck. And that shot of him trying to grab the phone, but it's moving away from him and yeah. shit. It was so good, dude. But yeah, this movie, man, I think has some of the, I mean, it's definitely, I don't know, man. I think this might be the most egregious part of this movie might be the drug use.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's right there with,
how much is depicted and like, how like, I guess realistic is depicted, but just in it's explicit.
Yeah.
It's fucking explicit. Yeah. I mean, he's sticking a straw into a chick's ass.
Yeah. I mean, it's explicit, but it's also important to this. Like, oh, yeah, it's such
absolutely.
A key part of the storytelling thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the language is necessary.
Yeah.
To drive home what this film is, you know, right. the story of it. So.
Right. Right.
But yeah, and it's shot so well. Like you're saying, the zoom out thing with the reaching for the phone.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was just like that. I couldn't believe that. And then another one of my favorite scenes was the whole thing where Naomi introduces that she wants a divorce.
Yeah.
That whole scene of them fucking, and then she gets really into it, and then she's like, it was the last time, and then. And then
he goes nuts.
And that whole scene, I was just sitting there like with my jaw on the floor, like, oh my God, this like the fucking just like despair.
Yeah.
It just was so well done. And fucking Leo just fucking like he grabs his girl and he gets in a wreck because he's all fucked up.
And also that's the other thing about this film and just like the one of the most telling things about Jordan Belfort. Is him telling us his whole story, you know, and you know, we get to the point where he marries Naomi, and then it's like 18 months later, and it's, you know, they're fighting in the bedroom because she found out that he's cheating on her, basically.
Yeah.
And so we're like, oh, this is the first time that he found out. He's like, it was, you know, honeymoon bliss until this.
Yeah.
And it is like, she's like, he goes, and then, you know, that was basically our day every day.
Yeah, right.
And we also find out that he had a fucking kid.
Yeah,
and he never says it.
Yeah,
see the child.
It's not even a part of.
Yeah, it's not even a part of like this time that he skipped.
A day that he remembers.
That is just like nothing really happened.
Right.
And then again, it happens where he skips over some time, and all of a sudden she's pregnant.
Right.
What? Now he's having another. Like, you're not going to mention this at all.
Yeah.
You self-absorbed piece of shit.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Again, can I get you to apologize to my friend Mr. Belfort before we
for being a piece of shit.
No, I mean, but it all kind of goes hand in hand with what we were talking about the way that Scorsese depicts the story. It's little things like that where he does such a great job.
Yeah.
I mean, and even when you see that she's pregnant, you see it when they're on the quaaludes or they had just taken the quaaludes, so you as the audience are finding out from the narrator that she's pregnant only after this crazy shit is about to happen to him, after he's done something he really loves, which is take super strong quaaludes, and you only see her in the mirror.
Yeah.
You don't even see her. You know what I mean?
These meetings at his firm where he's talking on the microphone in front of every, like, what a fucking blowhard.
Yeah.
Like, all these things, and like the detail that he goes into talking about just discussing how they can or can't throw the little people dartboard thing.
Yes,
and like, dude. But you know, two kids, do they even have names?
No.
Yeah. Like what is this?
I know. And we get a 5-minute scene about the line you can cross when it comes to throwing little people at a dartboard.
Oh man. Just so awful. Like,
yeah, the worst
treating
shit.
Them like, talking to them about, like, they're literally talking about, like, a trained chimpanzee.
Yeah, exactly.
Or something. Like, they'll come at your face or your nuts or whatever.
Or what was the thing that Jonah Hill said? you know, they gossip these things, you know?
Yeah, they talk to the other ones.
They start talking to each other, yeah.
Wait, can we like bowl him too? That's his brother.
Can
we get him?
We need to get him. Yeah, you strap him onto a fucking wheelchair and roll him down an alley. Oh, man. Oh, geez. The debauchery.
Yeah, and like, that's the other thing of a lot of it is like, maybe I'm just old now, but like I see these party seats and everything. I'm like, no, I don't want that.
Yeah, right.
I
know. Yeah, for real. Because, I mean, we've seen it. I think, you know, that's due in part to the work that Scorsese has done. You know how this movie ends. In every Scorsese movie, there's the good times. It's going great. You can do whatever you want, but you know what's about to happen.
Now, I find
myself... Someone's going to get popped. Someone's going to get arrested. You're going to lose it all.
What's weird is that I find myself, you know, watching Goodfellas, and I'm rooting for him, you know? I don't want the bad to happen to him, even though he's a bad guy working for bad people, doing bad things.
Yeah.
In this, from the very beginning, I was like, fuck this guy. Fuck this guy and the horse that he rode in on.
It's crazy, too, because at the very beginning, when you see him, he's fresh into the job world or whatever.
Yeah.
Got his first job, and the guy's like, you're pawn scum. And all this and that, giving them the fucking ninth degree of like, you're a piece of shit, get out of here, you don't mean anything, we make tons of money. And he goes, I made, you know, 300,000, the top guy made $1 million, and he goes, $1 million? What kind of douchebag must that guy be?
Yeah.
That's what he's thinking to himself.
Yeah.
And then he meets the guy, and he's like, oh, I want to be that
douchebag. Yeah, I want to be that douchebag. Very, it's like Patrick Bateman.
Yeah.
You know, right around the same time.
Right.
Time frame,
late absolutely. 80s,
but,
yep.
You know,
yep.
It's but it
I
is,
mean, dude, a fucking, you know, obviously Belfort doesn't murder people, but he's kind of a real life model of the warnings of American Psycho
I try to think back and like with Goodfellas and, you know, all those, you know, mafia and mob movies that Scorsese's made, you don't really feel bad for anybody that gets killed.
Yeah.
That they're killing, because it's all kind of bad guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which, like, in this, like, yeah, maybe it is, maybe it's not. Like, I don't know who they're scamming.
Yeah.
But right. I know when they're scamming people that don't have money, like, early on, before they make the big bucks.
Yeah.
Like, then you're like, fuck you.
Yeah.
You know,
that was
but when they're scamming rich people, like, it's also like, fuck you.
Yeah.
That's not your money. Like,
right. It's still not his money. I mean, it's like how.
And I keep, oh, man, this last time I kept getting so mad. Because I'm like listening to him explain what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then halfway through he goes, you don't care about it. I was like, no, I do.
I know.
Like,
I know.
Stop it. I'll go
I
back.
Know. I was like, hold on. I'm taking notes, dude. Wait a second.
Which like is one of the things that I loved about The Big Short. Yes. You've seen that, right?
No.
You haven't seen that.
Okay. No, I told you earlier.
Yeah, that's right. I couldn't remember.
Are you listening to this show, Chase?
But you've seen Vice.
Yes.
Yeah, so same director.
Right.
And
McKay, right?
Yeah, Adam McKay.
Joker, I know movies
as well. Yeah, but we should do Big Short. But they describe and they like explain what caused the mortgage crisis and all that kind of stuff, and they break it down. And a lot of times it's, you know, like one time it is Margot Robbie drinking champagne in a bubble bath to explain it to you, so that you don't get bored.
Oh wow!
You know? So like it's kind of the same aspect.
Right.
Like, he starts to talk about it, and I'm like, wow, okay. And then he's like, blow it off. So, like, yeah. I want to know what real things they were doing, because, like, was it every single thing that they did, was it illegal?
Right.
What is the illegal thing? What isn't the illegal thing? How do you get away with it? Why did it take so long to bust them, you know?
Yeah.
That's, like, I want to know. I want to know how.
So you can start your own firm to start doing it.
And learn from their mistakes.
Never get busted. See, that is the goal, folks.
So if you just don't do a bunch of drugs and you don't buy a lot of Lambos.
Well, no, what you don't do is... Okay, so let's talk about this. I was very confused at the... Okay, so look. He gets busted, right? He's on house arrest. He has to step down. This is after he was going to step down and then was like, fuck it, I'm not going to.
Yeah,
now
he's
gonna
work
he
for
has
the,
to.
Yeah, because the first time he was going to step down and work for the SEC.
Yeah, right.
And he would... Everything would have been fine.
Everything would have been fucking fine, dude. But anyway...
he's a dick.
But anyway, he the second time when he comes back, he gets busted and it all goes to shit. And he's on house arrest and Donnie comes over and he goes, you know, me and the guys, we were talking. Because he goes, how's Stratton Oakmont? How's it going? And he's like, look, you know, basically telling him it's going under, but I got you taken care of.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's awesome. I thought it was going to end up being like the old, like, oh, stabbed in the back by your best friend storyline. Et tu, Brute, kind of shit.
But no, it wasn't. But no, it was the exact opposite.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's what the fuck is up. Also, it was really cool when Brad went to jail and he could have got out earlier, but he didn't. Rat even on the guy he hated.
Yeah.
And the guy that got him busted, refused to rat.
For being a dumbass.
Yeah, for being a total dumbass. Yeah.
And then he goes, and he died at 35 from a heart attack.
But anyway.
Same age as Mozart.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said that.
I don't know why I said that, but whatever. But no, that's crazy. Is that true that dude died at 35?
Yeah.
From the drugs, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Shit.
Why else would he have a massive heart attack at 35?
He's
very fit.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the only thing he did was sell drugs. Like, that's why they. Right. He sells drugs, so he
washed money. You know, yeah. He smuggled money into
he knew how to do it because he
sold drugs. Yeah.
And he did a lot of drugs and then his heart exploded. So.
Right. But I need a little bit of clarification here because after that, then I thought, because then they were like, we need you to cooperate and he agrees he's going to. So then you're thinking, oh, here comes the Et tu, Brute shit. He's going to fucking throw Donnie under the bus. After Donnie fucking looked out for him, oh man, here we go. But then he still doesn't do it.
Yeah.
He slides him the piece of paper, says, don't incriminate yourself, I'm tapped, and lets him know, you know? So good on you. You do that for your boy. But here's where I need clarification. Did it still happen? Is Donnie the one that gave the piece of paper to the feds? How did they get that piece of paper?
Which one? The I'm tapped one?
Yeah, the one when the feds walked into his house and he was like, look what I fucking got. You're going. And he was like,
yeah,
fuck, it's over.
Well, they found it when they stormed the.
Well, but surely it would have been thrown into a shredder or something.
I mean, I don't know.
So that's what I'm asking. Do you know anything about, were you following that too? Were they implying that Donnie was the one that turned him in?
Okay. But he gave him enough information on Donnie. He gave him information on everybody.
Right.
You know,
and so the reason his sentence was so little.
Yeah. And he got like, hold on, I think I put it in here.
It was 36 months.
Yeah, and I think he served 22.
Right.
In
rich people prison.
Yeah, and that place that I was like, I want to go there.
Right.
I could learn to play tennis.
It was basically a fucking resort. He's basically, he had.
Which, you know, again, it comes down to the fact of like, you know, and he had to pay. It's all about paying back stuff.
Right.
You know, which, like,
yeah.
He didn't murder anybody. He didn't do anything except take a bunch of money that was given to, like, you know, it's one of those, it's a roundabout kind of like gray area of morality where it's like stealing, but is it stealing? And like, he needs to go to prison, but like he pays it back. It's better. You know? Yeah. He shouldn't get treated that well, but now he's back out and he's making more money and he's paying taxes again. So like, who knows?
Right.
You know,
It's a little bit gray on the morality spectrum.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, he's still stealing. So why is he? Is it because you're better at stealing? So you get better.
Yeah. And it's not, Nez, I don't know if I would qualify it as straight up stealing. It's scamming.
Yeah.
You know, it's conning, you know, because the people gave him their money.
Yeah.
But. So he didn't steal it.
Well, and what was it like?
But he
basically
but he
lying.
knew. Yeah, yeah he knew
he was
that
selling him trash.
He was getting rich.
Yeah. And so, he was only making money because the stuff he was selling was useless.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. You know, it's like snake oil.
Yep.
Except in an investment style.
Yep.
So,
which
is why I wanted to continue explaining exactly where the illegal level gets.
Well, he ended up. Getting well, I'm sure he was doing illegal
stuff. Said something
about
aggressive sales tactics. And
well, that's what the SEC was pinning him for, or trying to fine him for.
Yeah,
for unethical sales.
Yeah,
you know, and basically being a wolf. You know, taking advantage of people to make yourself money on shitty stocks. I mean, the whole the SEC is there to make sure that that doesn't happen, so that the stock market doesn't just completely fucking crash, you know. And but the FBI, what he really ended up getting busted on is money laundering.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty sure at the end of the day, that's what he got taken down for, because they got the guy that was running his Swiss bank accounts.
Yeah.
And then that's where they were able to
Rugrat.
Right. And then in turn, they were able to get that other information about all the dealings they were doing, you know, in the stock market. Mm-hmm. Because they had him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a whole thing. Like the truly illegal shit he did was laundering his money that he was conning off of people. You know, the American government could care less if you're conning people. You as better give you me taxes. My yeah. cut. Yeah. yeah. So, which is all bullshit. That's a whole other discussion.
But, exactly. And that's why he's in a prison that is, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, that's why it's all kind of gray morally. You just, to do that for a living, you got to decide if you want to be that kind of person.
Well, and, you know, when you wake up and you look in the mirror and you look like the real Jordan Belfort, like, what else are you going to do?
Fatality.
That was funny. I mean, look, he probably knows it too. Fucking, yeah. You know, shit, Jordan, you know. But he had a gift for fucking, he had a gift for it. And he fucking, and he did it. It just is what it is, you know, like. It is what it is. He did his time and he's paying the money back. I don't know. Who fucking knows?
I mean, probably not.
Probably not, like, but
let's be honest, they never do.
Right, but he did, you know. It just is what it is. The guy had a gift. He knew how to talk to people and he did it. And he made himself a lot of money doing it. Is it ethical? No, but the system is set up for him to do it, so he did it. I mean, shit. It sucks ass. But stealing from the rich, I really don't, like, care. I mean, I don't know.
I mean,
if I was rich, I would care.
Rich people aren't bad people.
Right, right.
Necessarily.
Right.
I mean, you know, just like poor people aren't necessarily good people. Everybody sucks, and everybody doesn't suck. It's the individual.
Right.
And, like, just because somebody's rich doesn't mean they don't work their fucking ass off for it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean.
No, absolutely. Yeah, so I mean, like, absolutely. Like, if I was rich, it would piss me off.
Like, I don't, you
know. I know, and that's the other
thing.
There
is some, I mean, obviously it is working, but it's different.
It's totally shitty and it's totally snaky.
You know?
But obviously he was fine with it. And, you know, what are you going to do?
And, you know, his wife was fine with it until, until the government, until he was getting in trouble.
Right.
I mean, like, that's the other thing is that I don't feel bad for her because, like, she was a shitty person too.
Yeah, totally.
She knew he was married and, like, she didn't give a fuck, walked out. Butt-ass naked to be like, you're going to fuck me now because I'm going to take you.
Right, exactly. I mean, she conned him.
Yeah.
Stupid. Anyway.
In fact, she, Margot Robbie, demanded, like, Scorsese said, you know what, we can do this with you in a robe. You don't have to be naked for this scene. That first scene where she walks out naked or whatever. And she was like, no, that's her weapon, is her, like, sexuality.
That's crazy.
So, like, it will be so much better if I just walk out naked.
That's crazy. Yeah, that was another, and we talked about this before we started recording, but I was surprised at how much fucking nudity was in this movie.
There's a lot of nudity.
Scorsese doesn't do nudity usually, so it was surprising to see.
And it was all, like, no tasteful nudity.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
It was
all, like, fucking getting your drugs snorted off your titties.
It's like, in a different movie, it would almost be like an 80s screwball comedy where they just have, like, tits running around all the time, you know?
Right, right,
like,
right.
Like, Animal House or, you know, Gopher, goddamn it, Caddyshack, you know?
Yeah, right.
But, like, it's, like, there's no...
Meatballs.
There's no, it's not Titanic, you know? It's not, like, this artistic beauty.
Right.
It's just, like, boobies and sex and candles in the ass and, like, you're like, okay, this is rough.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And Jonah Hill's, you see his whole penis in that one scene.
Fake or not?
It's fake.
Totally fake, right?
Yeah.
But that was fucking hilarious, though, dude.
Could you imagine if it was real? How would, like, porn? He would have to be a porn star because of, like, how long? That was, like, a long take, and he's walking around with a boner, like, for who knows how many hours if it's not a real penis.
Oh, it's interesting.
You know what
did it seem long to you?
That I said boner. Long to you? It seemed like it was hard.
Interesting.
You're gonna walk around with just, you're able to just walk around all day with like a boner? Are you 13 years old?
Yes and yes. I don't I don't know what the question is, Chase.
I'm just saying. Anyway. I'm just saying.
No, I don't know. Yeah, yeah. No. But dude, the fucking scene though was fucking hilarious because his wife is right fucking there, you fucking idiot. And you're fucking fucked up on Quaaludes just going, perfect. Stupid, dude. Oh, man, that was such a great focus.
So what about, I didn't know, I had no idea what a Steve Madden was.
Yeah,
my wife was like, yeah, those shoes were
that's
huge.
That's what Ash was saying, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ash was like, everything that Belfort was saying about Steve Madden and his shoes and how he created trends, Ash was like, yeah, he really did.
Yeah, and like, he went to jail big time a lot for what he did
really?
With him. Yeah.
Well, what, for dumping his stock?
Yeah. It just other shady business stuff that he was doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, he got screwed over on that in the end. He got caught.
Right.
But that was Dustin Hoffman's son that played Steve Madden.
Oh, I was like, man, this kid looks familiar.
And that scene was the day that Steven Spielberg came to set and was visiting the set, and Steven Spielberg like directed that scene.
That's so weird. Why? Yeah.
Because he was there and he's friends with Scorsese.
Marty was like, yeah, go for it.
He's like, yeah. He's like, oh, what if we do this? And that's shoot fucking from hilarious. Here. And he's talking to the actors. He's like, y'all should do this. They're like, I mean, you know, it's Steven Spielberg.
Yeah. You're going to say no to insight from Spielberg?
Yeah, it's free directing. It's Scorsese. Yeah. He's like, yeah, this is great. Yeah. Like, this is fucking great.
That's just like a day of hanging out for two directors.
Yeah.
You know, like.
And they do all the time. Lucas.
No big deal. We're just shooting.
They're all just friends.
Shooting Wolf of Wall Street. Yeah. No big deal. Why don't you do like a fucking low pan over here?
Well, it's like in Sin City when Rodriguez was shooting Sin City and he had Tarantino come in for a day.
Yeah.
And he directed that scene in the car.
Yeah, and that's where all the feet popped up.
There were no feet because it was two dudes.
He's like, he lets Tarantino in for a day. He's like,
it's just all feet.
Hey, could she do that without the shoes? That's my Tarantino.
I like it.
You like it? That's pretty good.
She needs to do that without the shoes. Now just pepper in the N-word.
Right. Yeah, Jesus.
Speaking of cuss words, this movie had the word fuck in, you know, one conjugation or another 569 times.
Wow. My wife. I did not know that.
The most uses of fuck in a mainstream R-rated non-documentary until the next year. Some movie called Swearnet, the movie.
Oh,
I'm not familiar with that.
That doesn't count. Casino held the record before this one, right?
Thus, for a brief time, Scorsese had taken back the record with Goodfellas. Goodfellas had it with 300. But that was in 1990. In 1993, a movie came out that had 305 uses. That movie was Menace to Society.
Oh, wow. Nice. Yeah. We need to do that one.
Yeah.
And then Casino took it over, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
I think Casino has the most cuss words per minute or whatever, but then I think this one has it more than that.
CPM.
Yeah.
CWPM.
Yeah, because I think this movie with cuss words, which, you know, depending on who you are, I don't know what a cuss word, you know.
Right.
It gets in there, but it, you know, it's easily over 1,000.
Right.
You know, but really, they use fuck most.
Right. And, you know, it's again, you don't even notice it. We talked about that watching Casino, where it's like, yeah, by the end of it, you're just like, oh, I heard the word, the fuck, the F word that many times. Yeah. I didn't. It's almost just like, you know, like it's, they're saying the word the or something. But that's because they build the world so well, you know, you expect that kind of thing.
Well, and it's Joe Pesci.
Yeah. Who, like, well, I mean, I was talking about Wolf of Wall Street. But yeah, for any of those movies, you know. All right. I think I said all. Oh, I need to give a shout out to Thomas Middleditch.
Ah, I was going to bring that up.
For the cameo.
Mm-hmm.
He got SAG minimum.
I have no idea. Probably. Okay. Maybe not. I don't know.
No, he probably demanded like $5 million. There was another strain. Oh, and John Favreau. We can't go without shouting out Mr. Favreau.
There was a lot of people that just kind of pop up in this movie.
Right, right. Oh, and Kristen Wiig for one fucking scene.
Wait, what was she?
The waitress on the
yacht.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just handed them some bottles. And she was like on SNL at the time, I think. And it was just like, sure, I'll go be an extra in your movie, Marty.
Why not?
That's just so crazy.
Rob Reiner. Don't forget Rob Reiner.
Yep, yep. There was another moment.
Oh, and Henry Zebrowski he's the sea otter.
So you're just interrupting me.
No, I was going to say, he is super funny in this movie and in other things. Have you ever watched Your Pretty Little Face is Going to Hell on Adult Swim? Anyway, he's like the main guy in that, and he's fucking hilarious.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah. And then the one guy, what's his name? Evan Supley.
Ethan Supley.
Supley,
yep.
Who is like shredded now, apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
I follow him.
This was on his like way
yeah,
down.
Yeah,
and
you
weight.
Can see he was like losing
like
the weight. Yeah.
It's like when he was on My Name is Earl and everything, and it was in the 90s, he was much bigger.
Right, right.
Like this, he kind of looked like a normal, healthy,
big
guy.
For someone as tall as him. Yeah.
And now he's
just like fucking ripped.
Yeah.
So fucking kudos to him, man. That's amazing. He must feel great. But he's in it. I mean, I've liked him since I first saw him in Remember the Titans.
Yeah.
Remember him in that?
Yeah. And, Mallrats.
He's in Mallrats?
Yeah.
No, he's too young for that.
No, he's in Mallrats.
What did he play in Mallrats? Was he a kid?
He was one of the guys. He's like
he was?
A high schooler.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I need to rewatch that.
Yeah, he was the one who was staring at the magic eye painting the whole time.
Oh, that was him?
Yeah, that
was
him.
Wow, that's cool.
And that's why he's friends with Jason Lee, and then they did My Name is Earl together.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
And he was on Boy Meets World.
He was?
Yeah.
Did he play a bully?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Nice. So, yeah, he's like that age. You know?
Yeah, gotcha. I guess that's it. I think there was one. Oh, and then the scene where he gets busted in the middle of shooting the infomercial, that was just a great, I thought it was a great way to depict that. I wonder, is that infomercial out there?
I don't know. I haven't looked.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, if it is, they wouldn't have released him getting busted.
No, I mean, obviously, but I just wonder
but
if
I think,
there is a finished infomercial.
I think that,
out there.
That infomercial, I don't know if it's like a direct version of one of Belfort's, but it's just making fun of, or it's in the style of a lot of those things selling, you know, lifestyle
that we all remember
seminars.
Coming on at fucking 3 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Well, I think I said all about I need to say, we can get on to the goofs segment if you want.
Oh, okay.
Unless there's anything else you wanted to say. Thomas Middleditch, though, that was a really
Kenneth
cool.
Kenneth Choi, he was good too.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a really good cameo there. Yeah. That was cool to see. Yeah, I think I've said everything I need to say.
All right.
Did you have anything you want to tie up with? We're at about an hour and 23 here.
Nope. I'm ready for the numbers. And then
I was going to say there was one, another instance of Scorsese's odd music choice in this movie you know, how like we lamented the shitty music at the beginning of Gangs of New York.
Yeah.
Where he put in a Foo Fighters song, he put in Everlong, and it just seemed out of time. It was just a weird choice. Huh. That's all. I mean, that you know, nothing against that song or anything.
You hate Dave Grohl and everything.
Yeah, right.
The Foo Fighters.
No.
Nirvana is, as you, this is to quote Bryce, heavily overrated.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Says me never. Oh, why don't you have people call us in the middle of recording? You want to spread lies? That's what you get embarrassing us. But anyway, I just thought it was a weird choice. It just didn't really seem to fit. Like, because at the time, I think they were in the early 90s. It was like 91 or 92. And then suddenly Everlong comes on from like 1995. And that whole like...
Well, it's also hard to...
That whole like genre
movie,
of music just didn't really... I just was like, why?
This movie was hard for me to follow exactly what year it was, too.
That is true.
I think it's done so on purpose, because like for him, everything just blends together.
Right.
When
he was
always fucked up.
But it's just that genre of music just didn't really seem to vibe with like this style of the movie. I don't know. Like, I don't really correlate Wall Street douchebags with
Foo Fighters,
post alternative,
yeah,
you know, 90s rock. But whatever. I just thought it was a weird choice. He's a weird music chooser.
What is the Wall Street douchebag music, you think? Yacht rock?
Man, I don't know. I could see them listening to Dave Matthews Band or some shit like that.
Yeah,
you know?
I can see that.
Some waspy shit like
that.
Or maybe some, maybe they probably get
what
down.
About, what about like now?
Now?
Like, is it man, just they, what's popular? Would yeah. it be like the popular music? Or
yeah, well, they're probably listening to like Lady Antebellum or something.
Lady A.
Oh, what?
They changed their name.
Oh, okay. Whatever.
They solved the problem by changing their name.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Probably some, I mean, they probably just listen to whatever's like on the Hot 100. Mm-hmm. Some Drake. Definitely Drake.
Some T-Swift.
They definitely listen to Drake.
You know why?
No.
Because Drake likes to look.
Okay. Again, we don't know any of these people. So anyway, yeah, we'll do a goof. We got some goofs. It's time for everybody's favorite segment. Where we all have a nice laugh. Okay. I got a good one for you guys here. So this was a fucking boner of all boners for Mr. Scorsese here. I can't believe it's kind of embarrassing that he allowed this to happen in his fucking movie of all people. Okay? Uh-huh. Stocks are being traded in dollars and cents.
Yeah.
$5.25 and $3.19.
Uh-huh.
At the time that this story took place.
Yeah.
Stocks were still being traded in dollars and fractions.
Fucking, oh my God. What a fucking chooch. God.
That is embarrassing, Marty. Oh, that is so embarrassing, you stupid douchebag. You should really just end it. Just end it, okay? No more movies for you. Stop directing. I can't believe you let that happen, really. I can't believe you. I'm actually pretty fucking offended right now. I can't believe I spent 3 hours of my fucking life and you let something like that happen, you son of a bitch.
All right, so budget estimated $1 million. That means that...
It was way more than that. $1 million.
I'm sorry, $100 million.
Nice.
$100 million. That means that...
Speaking of goofs.
DiCaprio made a quarter of the budget. Because he was paid $25 million.
Yeah, wow.
So opening weekend. This was a Christmas weekend release, whatever you call it, okay. December
Oscar season.
29th. So that was Christmas week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oscar season.
Yeah.
December 29th, 2013, opening weekend. What do you think it was? You know,
this was his most families successful. Are done wrapped, already
you,
said,
you've all unwrapped the presents, grandma, grandpa, let's all go see a movie.
Yeah. This is a family movie.
Let's go see Wolf of Wall Street.
Yep. It's got that feel good Christmas vibe to it too, you know?
I mean, the candle in his ass was red, so.
That's true. And there was a lot of snow.
Hey!
I'm going to say you have already stated that it's his most successful in the box office that he's ever done.
Yeah.
Scorsese, that is. So I'm thinking, I remember it was hot from the day that it went out. So I'm going to say opening weekend, it did 50 mil.
It did 18.
Whoa!
18 million.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, this, you know, the December, market is a confusing one.
Yeah.
You know, and you never know what it's going to be. And I'm sure that this movie was a more limited release of that weekend.
Yeah.
You know, that's what, especially when they come to that last week, it's like, well, we got to get into this year's Oscars.
Yeah.
So, boom, last weekend of the year, we're in, and then our real run is, you know, we're the only fucking thing showing in January.
Right.
That's the dump ground for everything else.
Yeah.
So, anyway, yeah, so its opening weekend was $18 million. I mean, and also, December 29th is a Friday, so, like, what, New Year's Eve? Who's going to the movies?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's true.
And so what is its worldwide, I mean, no, it's domestic gross.
Domestic gross in total, I'm going to say it. Went over the 100 million mark. I'm going to go 115 million.
Wow. You're really close.
What is it?
116 million, 900,694.
I need the horn, man. I need that. Beep, 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 beep.
The breaking news?
No, the, you know, the little siren thing, the air horn. Yeah.
You did breaking news.
All right, here.
Got a terrific penis.
That's right. I nailed it.
All right, so cumulative worldwide, what was it?
All right, let's see if I can keep the streak alive, baby.
I will give you a hint. The last three digits are the same. It was 116,900,694. So okay. That's $694 okay. Carried over.
Thanks for that helpful hint. Very good. I'm going to say 350 million.
So close. 392.
Ooh, I'm still going to get myself.
Got a terrific penis.
You're getting better at this. Yeah. I got to say, you've been pretty on point.
That's right.
Dwayne beat you last time, though.
He did. Which, you know.
It was outrageous. It really is.
But good for him. I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
Shall we do a reboot recast?
We need your rating first.
Rating.
Yeah.
This movie out of 10. Swiss people strapped with cash on their body. Boarding an airplane. I give this movie 9.5 Swiss people.
Wow.
Strapped with cash, boarding an airplane.
So you really love this.
Loved it, Marty. I loved it.
You did great. On the spectrum of Scorsese films, where does this hit? What do you think his best is?
Well, you know.
That you've seen, because we still got a couple to cover.
Yeah.
I think
it's so hard to stay consistent with Marty, though, because there's so many good ones. I mean, you know, you witnessed my love for Marty happen in real time when we went to go see The Departed that came out.
That's right. Yeah.
And that movie fucking blew my mind.
I still got the poster hanging in the hallway.
Yeah. But since then, man, this might be my favorite one.
Really?
Yeah.
This takes over Goodfellas and The Departed? Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
It really is up there.
Yeah, I mean, it's fabulous. I still...
You guys have been telling me, you got to see it. I'm like, how can it be that much better than what I've already seen?
And I'm surprised.
It's just something about it. It just is... The story is compelling. Marty fucking shoots it and directs it so well. And then...
I'm very surprised.
The cast just fucking does so good. Leo does so good.
I'm not surprised that you loved it.
It's the total package.
I am surprised that it's your favorite.
I mean, I got Goodfellas. I said it might be.
Yeah,
it's like A and B with Goodfellas.
It's one of those things you gotta wait on it like you did last year.
It's A and B. It's A and B with Goodfellas.
See, I think it's Goodfellas and The Departed are better than this.
Oh, you still think Departed is better than this?
The Departed is by far the most rewatchable and enjoyable of his films.
I can see that.
Goodfellas is also, but in a different way. Like, The Departed is, you're in it. It's a ride as well as an incredible film.
Yeah.
Goodfellas is, it's almost, at this point, I've seen it so many times, it feels like a bedtime story.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, yay.
Right. Yeah.
Once upon a time, there was a mobster. Once upon a time, I wanted to be a mobster. Ever since I was a kid.
Yeah, right.
And like,
right.
You're like, you just feel so comfortable.
Yeah.
Then I hear Layla, and all I can see is like people's heads exploding in the back of the seat.
Right. Yeah. Oh, speaking of that, I do have to give Marty props for finally doing a movie
without
the Rolling Stones in it. So thank you. Finally, get some fucking Beatles in your shit. They're a better band anyway. So
not so soundtracky though.
Come on, you know, I am the walrus. Psh, someone's getting their fucking head blown off to Yellow Submarine.
Hey, I will say this.
I want to see that.
Nobody got their head blown off. And
right, well, because it wasn't that kind of movie.
A few punches, but not a ton.
But wouldn't it be crazy to see one of those fucking mafia scenes where everyone's getting whacked and Yellow Submarine is playing? Yeah. I want to see that
shit. Or Octopus's Garden.
Yeah, right. Yeah, dude.
Just the Starkey hits.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Although Richard Starkey actually did write Octopus's Garden, however, he did not write
Yellow Submarine. Yeah.
It's Paul McCartney's song. Anyway, cool. Well, let's do a reboot recast. We're at an hour and 34 minutes.
All right,
here.
Yeah. This one's a little difficult.
Oh, wait, we
got
to do the
reboot recast.
Okay. All right, well, I take it you've already thought about this one?
Yes.
Okay, let's go with it.
All right. Oh, you're putting it on me.
Yeah, I'm putting it on you, because I was thinking about it last night, and I was like, And then I watched Enter the Dragon for next week. Spoiler alert.
Yep,
we're doing
yep.
Enter the Dragon. And I got in my head about that.
Yeah.
So I quit thinking. See.
Okay. Which we don't really have to reboot recast that one.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay.
I mean, that again, yeah, that is hard. That is a hard one to do. I want to try and do it as much as we can, though. We got sloppy.
Yeah, that's all true. These
iconic, you know.
I know. Yeah. Some of these are just hard to do.
This one we should be able to do. However, it's difficult because...
It's relatively new.
Yeah, it's 7 years ago, but like they're all kind of still the same age.
Yeah, I mean...
So basically, it's just like if you were recasting it as though it never got made.
Right.
You know, like who else could do
alternative cast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jordan Belfort. Now you guys keep telling me how this guy is actually a really good actor now. So,
wait,
but I don't,
you guys or Ed?
You guys.
Okay.
And
sometimes Ed will pull somebody out and I'm like, I don't know who that is.
Right, right.
I bet they have U's in a lot of their words, you know what I mean?
What?
They're British.
Yeah, I'm British. Yeah. I don't know how well this guy could do an American accent, but it might be interesting to see. Based on your fucking based on what you tell me. Robert Pattinson, Jordan Belfort.
Huh. I don't know.
No.
I mean, he's very good. I just don't know if I see that. But then again, like,
it's
I
hard
could.
To see, but then who can you see?
Who can you see? First of all, Robert Pattinson can do a very good American accent. Like, that's not going to be a problem. Or Jersey or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
But I just don't know if I see that. But then again, I don't not. I think that's pretty good.
It's okay, but it's I feel like we can do something better.
Yeah. I could see him, especially I could see him being directed in a Scorsese picture. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, that would be, yeah, that would definitely. What about, see, he might be too old, though. Pedro Pascal.
Yeah, that's a little
too old.
Yeah. I mean, he's in his 40s. Mm. But God, he's fucking great.
Maybe Bradley Cooper?
He's about the only good thing in that new Wonder Woman movie.
Maybe Bradley Cooper?
Definitely too old. He's like 50-something. Mm.
But he could play.
He could do the McConaughey part.
Yeah.
Bradley Cooper?
Yeah. Okay, so there's one. I have one for Margot Robbie.
All right.
January Jones.
I think, was she one of the ones who auditioned for it? I know. That what's her fuck? The one that the bitch that hit Johnny Depp all the time. What's her fucking name? Amber Heard.
Oh, so you're team Johnny now? Is this a movie gap revelation?
I'm just team not Amber Heard. Fuck Amber Heard. Okay. Although I'm watching The Stand on CBS All Access. It's fucking great.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, you like Stephen King? You should watch it.
Oh, is it Stephen King?
Yeah, it's The Stand.
Oh yeah, I mean you say that. Oh, this is the one that they've been waiting for to come out, right?
Yeah.
Isn't like John Stamos in it or some shit?
No.
Or John Stamos was in a adaptation of a Stephen King movie or something, right?
I don't know.
Oh, never mind.
No, this has Skarsgård and Amber Heard's in it, and Greg Kinnear is in it. There's a lot of people. Whoopi Goldberg. It's good. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, but Amber Heard is in that, and that's what was making me think. But no, I think January Jones might have been one of the ones that auditioned for that part. But yeah, you know.
I mean, I like it. It's a blonde. She's a knockout as well.
Yeah. It's just not quite the same. You know, like I would think of.
What do you mean exactly?
There's Samara Weaving. I would say that because she looks exactly like Margot Robbie.
Oh, really? I don't know who that is.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think
I don't know what that word means.
She was in a movie called Ready or Not last year that was actually really good. And then she was in the new Bill and Ted movie. She was one of the daughters.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know.
Okay.
I can see that. Yeah, I was trying to think of like a Donnie. Who's right for that? But yeah, it's just hard because we're picking from the same pool.
I know.
At this point, because it's just that same age.
I got
range.
One for Donnie.
Okay.
Michael Cera.
Ayo. No, Michael Cera would play Rugrat.
No, well, yeah. Well, why?
Yeah,
why?
Because he's like a little. Well, what do you mean?
Why?
He's a little putz. He's a little putz. Cute little putz.
Oh boy. Yeah. But the wig though.
So what? You think you can put a wig on him?
Man, if we were casting this,
you think you can't put wigs on actors?
If we were
what
casting
doing?
This in the '90s, Robin Wright, Penn could have been Margot Robbie's.
Yeah. Yeah, what if that's we were cat? What if this did come out back then?
Oh, that's too much to think about now. We should have thought about that.
We should have. That's what we need to be doing, and we have done that before.
For the new ones, yeah.
We have done that before, especially with the Marvel movies. Well, we'll worry about that another time. All right, I think that's Chalamet. Fun. Fuck Timothy Chalamet. I think we've had
too young?
Yeah, and like, no.
He sucks? I've never seen him in
I don't movie. Think he's whatever. He blows over.
Oh, okay. I know. Tom Hardy.
For who?
Belfort.
No.
What? No. Come on.
No, he's totally wrong for that.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, I got nothing then. Fuck it.
I liked your first one. I like Pattinson.
Really?
I don't hate it.
It's just some. I know that I we can do it. Better, though.
You know? So, anyway. Yeah. I think everybody's tired of listening to us.
Yeah, let's fucking go. I got to take a dump.
Yeah, and we got to get back. To
we're
next
get
week.
Back to so, it. We got to travel to next week.
Thanks for listening this week. Yes. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and the Facebook and the TikTok.
That's right.
Our TikToks are heating up.
And don't forget to like and subscribe on YouTube for the YouTubers.
Yeah. And
like
if you haven't
subscribe,
watched,
hit that notification button right there.
Yeah, and check us out on YouTube. And I'm doing a little better at posting the episodes on Facebook as well.
Yeah,
the videos,
which is good. We need to keep doing that.
So a lot of times it just depends on if my computer
is being a bitch. Or
yeah. If it, if it doesn't upload, I'm like, fuck it, next week.
Right.
So until we meet again, I will say, do you have the cue or do I?
I got it.
Okay. Nom in space.